Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Open Book, your weekly spiritual book club. I'm Alice Shelton, and joined with me, as always, is my friend and partner, Lori Strawn. Lori, how are you?
I'm just fine. And we really have got we already did get a jump on our discussion, hadn't we?
We had. I was going to start the same way thing. Like most of the people who were conscious that the Pope was in town, or as my youngest son texted me last week, the Pope is in the house. I think we're having trouble not talking on and on and on about the Pope and what was meant and what was not meant and what was said and what was not said. So we thought we'd try and use some sources of quotations that we felt were legitimate and then respond to those. So I'm excited about that. But before we do that, Lori, I think we have an announcement we'd like to make, or a welcome or a greeting. Is that right?
Yes,
to
that
our
is true.
Companion friends? Yeah.
Yes, we have been praying for a couple of candidate associates, and those are people that are in process of becoming Providence associates, as Alice and I are. And this month, they will be taking
commitments. They'll be making their first 1-year commitments.
Right. And so we would like to welcome them to the fold, say how much, we've really enjoyed praying for them and how much we'd like to meet them in future. And their names are Jacqueline Fisher and Waleen Swentko.
Yep. So welcome, and we will continue praying for you. And we wanted to publicly acknowledge you, and we'll probably still write you notes, too. So,
sure.
Well, let's move on to the Pope. They would want us to do that, don't you think?
I think they would.
I think so, too. Well, I'm just going to plop right in the middle here, because there's a lot, and I know you have a couple of things to add, but I want to start here. This quotation, and these are taken primarily from Life Teen, from a Life Teen site. So I think the reason I was drawn to that is this is what young people heard the Pope say, and young people felt was important enough to put on their publications. So I thought that was interesting. So this one is, once we come to realize how much God has given us, a life of self-sacrifice, of working for Him and for others, becomes a privileged way of responding to His great love. So, Lori, what I like about this quotation is that it suggests that while we have much to do, we've been given much with which to do it, and so it doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like a response and just a way of walking the path. Tell me how you think this is consistent or inconsistent with what you've experienced of the Pope's service.
I think it's very consistent. He comes from such a positive place, such a place of joy. And I think it's common for people to think of self-sacrifice as a negative. You know, it's self-sacrifice. It means it's taking something out of me. It requires a radical rethinking, and, Francis is a radical thinker, to really see that it's a privilege to work for God, hard as it is. And being part of that, just even being part of that, is the ultimate reward. And how could anybody ask for more than that? And I think that's where he comes from. He comes from a place of positivity, of reaching out, of not just sitting in your place or giving doctrine, but going out and sharing and giving and being involved. I think that's very much who Francis is.
Yeah, and I feel like the visit we experienced, and understandably we experienced what the national media elected for us to experience. I understand that. But, if you watched for any period of time, I felt like what I saw was a man who at times looked his age, looked tired, looked fragile, but it seemed to me that when he could encounter people in a close way, whether they were on stage coming to him after speaking at the World Family thing, or being closer to the crowd where he could see children or see the elderly, where he was really more intimately engaging with people, particularly in one-on-one, he lit up. I mean, it was like that was where his energy came. And that felt so apparent. I mean, his genuine smile and just gladness really came across. And I watched it a lot, and I did not feel like it was contrived or forced, because he looked tired sometimes.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely looked tired. And I know he was on, his doctor had put him on a very bland diet, a very restricted diet. So it speaks to, you know, probably some health concern. But you're right. On an individual level, he did. He lit up. And in many ways, it made me feel that's how God feels for us. I mean, yes, he's concerned with the whole. But, boy, is he just delighted to see each and every one of us.
Yeah. I totally agree. That is a tremendous way to say it, that it was just, it felt like the way you would experience God, wanting God to experience us. There was one point, particularly during the World Family meeting, when the different people were talking on behalf of their own personal circumstances and frequently in their own native languages. And there was a family, and I don't remember the country, but there was a young man with cerebral palsy in a wheelchair. And you watch the Pope meet the infirmed or people who were clearly struggling. His ease with them was just, I just found it really inspiring for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I felt like one of the themes that I heard over and over and over, there were several, but one I heard from him is kind of underscores this next quotation, and it has to do with God being in and love being in the little things, the daily parts of life. And that's certainly, I think, if we have a theme for our show, I think that's a theme that we would both say comes across routinely. So here, this is the next one. Love is shown by little things, by attention to small daily signs which make us feel at home. Faith grows when it is lived and shaped by love. That is why our families, our homes, are true domestic churches. This one speaks to a couple of themes. One I mentioned would be little things, love shown by little things, and I think the Pope equates God with love from what I heard and have read. The other thing, family was certainly a big topic of what the Pope spoke about. He was here within the context of the Catholic gathering of world families. And I think everyone could interpret in their own way, through their own lenses, in their own ears, what they heard the Pope say. So I'm just going to take this opportunity to do that myself. What I heard the Pope say gave me no particular concern about the broadness of what family means. I mean, clearly the Pope sees the family as created by God. He talks about home. You know, domestic church to me means small communal levels, people talking to people, not, you know, vast organizations where there's one leader who just controls everything. So I didn't feel a narrowing of the definition of family from the Pope's visit. Tell me your response to that.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think there was very much an inclusion and a feeling of a broadening almost of what family means. And he said, he came right out and said several things about love. And one of them was that love is primary. Love is what the church should be all about, what we should be all about. And anything that comes from love is automatically good and of God. Now, to me, that just reaches out to any person that's in a love relationship and puts a blessing on it, to me, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I know that there are those who can, you know, we all have our own definitions of family.
Of course.
So if your definition of family is narrow, you heard that. Mine is not narrow, or it's not as narrow as it could be. I suppose all of us have narrowness in our definitions of family, but I didn't feel narrowing. But you know, here's another couple of quotations, and again, one is from taken directly from the Philadelphia City Square speech or communication, and the other one is from another place that I don't know the source, but it's very similar. So I want to read them both because I like them both. It says, he was talking about just the difficulties of living in the world and the day-to-day life, and he says, these difficulties are overcome with love. Hatred is not capable of doing away with difficulty. A division of hearts cannot overcome difficulty. Only love is able to overcome. And then the other quotation, similar construct, division of hearts doesn't overcome any difficulty. Only love is capable of overcoming difficulties. Love is a festival. Love is joy. Love is to keep moving forward. Clearly, you know, the Pope's theme, the gospel message, which is his, you know, vocation and avocation, I assume, is about love. But interesting coupling it with the concept of how it has to be what overcomes difficult things, that hatred cannot solve problems. So what breadth of subjects do you think the Pope was trying to cover here?
I think it just an inclusiveness, again, reaching out to people wherever they were, at whatever level. Part of what he talked about, and I know this is a little off topic, but he talked a lot about the Golden Rule. And I thought, what a wonderful way to bring spirituality to people who may not understand the gospel, who may not even be spiritual people, but can understand this, the very basic and good message of doing unto others as you would have done unto you. That's language people understand. And I think this, the quotes that you just spoke of, are in that same vein, that love is good and it's true and it's beautiful, and that should explicate anything that you bring to the table, any doubts you have, any problems you have with the church, any problems you have with your family, any problems, period. It really is a way of seeing the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is love. And I just think that's just arms out to the world.
How, this is not a quotation base, this is just a general question. Do you think that the fact that English is probably one of, what, five or six languages that he speaks?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the fact that English is not a first language, and that some of his remarks were, you know, clearly scripted and he was reading from them and had to have things translated for him sometimes, help or hindrance to how the message got communicated, how people experienced him?
I really thought that it was a lovely way to experience him, in that he spoke a lot in his native language. And I think that was really a reaching out to the many, many Spanish-speaking peoples that live in the United States that are Catholic. I mean, I think that was really, it must have been just a tremendous thing for them to hear the Pope speaking in their language. But I also think that, yes, of course it's going to be scripted. Of course he's going to need some help with some translations. And he apologizes for himself at some point, saying, well, this isn't the best word, but this is the word I'm using. I think it made his comments seem more thoughtful, because he really had to think about what he was saying, how it would translate, what words he meant to get across. Just that, I just really think that it showed a deepness in thought in what he said.
I did too. And it the delivery, the pace of the delivery necessarily had to be slow, because he was not familiar, you know. And I think that was helpful, because most of the subject matter he was delivering really needed to be surrounded by the level of silence that his speaking had to surround it with, because then with people.
We needed time to take it in and just, you know, soak in every single sentence.
I'm sure there were many times, other than the one large one I saw, which was the closing of the world family meeting, the big deal where he was on the stage and a bagillion people were there. But he made the decision to just totally go off script and just deliver the message to in Italian and just do it from his heart. And that was another point where I felt like you could, even though I could not understand many of the words he said other than what the translator was telling me, even before the translator communicated, you could just see the emotion in what he was delivering and his belief in it and his fervor about it. And I just loved that. I was so glad that he did that. Did you see that?
Yes. Oh, and I absolutely agree. He was just speaking from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was totally okay with that. He could have done that every time. So, well, did you have a couple quotations you wanted to go through? I've got a couple more, but I don't want to jump over you.
Well, you know, one that I just loved was, "Harsh and divisive language does not befit the tongue of a pastor." Wow. I just thought that was wonderful. I mean, let's face it, all of us can name a pastor or pastors from whom we have heard harsh and divisive language.
Yeah.
Right down to, if you don't like it, get out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, huh, there's a thinker. There's something to make people pause and look at things differently, look at the way that we extend fellowship in the church differently, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And I wonder, you know, that certainly is applicable within the Roman Catholic tradition and within Roman Catholic churches. I wonder how Protestant brothers and sisters received that. You know,
because
obviously a lot of folks were watching it.
That would be interesting to know. But I think it's certainly applicable to every pastor.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. He has a good sense of humor. I'm trying to think of a couple examples of there's a quotation somewhere that I don't have in my notes, but it was related to a family who was really struggling with the fact that their 27 or 8-year-old child was still living at home. And, you know, the mother was tired of cooking pancakes for him to breakfast and da-da-da-da and wanted to know what the Pope suggested, and the Pope suggested that she stop making breakfast for him, which I thought showed a high level of understanding of the family, you know?
Indeed, I agree. The
I
other quotation
that.
I really loved from him, I mean, other than, you know, well, there were so, so many, all of his talking about care of the poor and care of the planet and stewardship and all that, the greater good. But this is one I really liked. "A delicate balance is required to combat violence perpetrated in the name of a religion, an ideology, or an economic system, while also safeguarding religious freedom, intellectual freedom, and individual freedoms. But there is another temptation which we must especially guard against, the simplistic reductionism, which sees only good or evil, or, if you will, the righteous and sinners. I think this, in particular, for an American audience, had great reverberations. I think
absolutely
patriotism is wonderful, and I love living in a patriotic country. But we do tend to be a bit reductionist in that it's USA, USA. Everybody else kind of stinks. You know, nobody else is as good as we are, and that can lead to, they are bad and we are good. They are sinners and we are righteous.
Yeah. Well, and I think that even extends, I mean, on a basic level, I think what you described is exactly what he's saying, and I think it can also be extended to the whole concept of the broadening of the definitions. You know, nothing can be simplified and just narrowed down to a simple, this is right, this is wrong. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, yes, there are universal truths. I don't want to become relativistic in the way I'm sounding, but the weighing of that, the looking at it, the praying about it, and the discerning about it is not going to end us up in a very right or left corner place. It's just not. Human beings are too messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I felt like he was careful to say things like this. I mean, I felt like those things were intentional. That was sort of, he may have come up with a list in his own mind of the goals he had for what he wanted to convey.
Oh,
who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just
thought
it was particularly poignant for Americans to consider.
Yeah, I like that. this touches on the serving the impoverished, or recognizing that we are brothers and sisters beyond just the borders that we have in our country. And the quotation is, "Jesus keeps knocking on our doors, the doors of our lives. He doesn't do this by magic, with special effects, with flashing lights and fireworks. Jesus keeps knocking on our door in the faces of our brothers and sisters, in the faces of our neighbors, in the faces of those at our side." If that doesn't begin to address, help you think about the whole immigration crisis that's happening in our country.
Yes, just amen.
Not much more you can say there. But he calls us to some hard things, though. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, very hard.
No
doubt.
Do
you want to get into the whole family thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, you have some. I have some, probably. So I'm going to start with mine. We'll go on to yours. Okay?
Sure.
His quotation that I picked is, "Perfect families do not exist. This must not discourage us. Quite the opposite. Love is something we learn. Love is something we live. Love grows as it is forged by the concrete situations with which each particular family experiences. Love is born and constantly develops amid lights and shadows." So again, as we started, I think this speaks to, there are many different ways that families are going to be living out their lives.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different constructs of families. They're not perfect. There's conflict. Another one, and I think this may have been one of yours, but I think this is the next place I want to go. This other quotation is, "But in families, there is always, always the cross, always, because the love of God, of the Son of God, also opened for us this path. But in families as well, after the cross, there is the resurrection, because the Son of God opened for us this path. Because of this, the family is," and forgive the term I'll use, he says, "it is a factory of hope of life and of resurrection. God was the one who opened this path." How do you respond to that?
That was the most important quotation on family to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it recognizes the cross, but also the possibility of resurrection, that no situation is impervious to renewed work unless we make it so. I mean,
right.
Some people will refuse a resurrection, and that's just sad for them. But for all of the rest of us, it gives us hope to keep trying and to keep reaching out and to keep believing in the possibility of family. And that the journey, as difficult as it is, can, if we are open to it, land in a good place.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Pope calls us to recognize and begin to do something about the work that all families need. I mean, let's take the subject of gay and lesbian relationships and gay marriage out of this for a moment, okay?
Right.
If you look at heterosexual marriage in this country among people of similar ethnicities, people of similar socioeconomic backgrounds, I mean, quote-unquote, the perfect marriage, you know, the divorce rate in our country is well over 50% at this point. So there's a lot of work, if you just segment out those groups, there's a lot of work to be done for family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work
absolutely.
To be done on the concept of marriage. So, you know, really, if this were a business, Lori, and we were having a massive bleed on the scale of what we're experiencing in heterosexual marriage, the focus would be on how do we fix that bleed?
Mm-hmm.
How do we focus the good energy on those relationships and stop focusing bad energy or, in some ways sort of live and let live for one thing, but also how hypocritical is that? I mean, we're holding up an institution that at least in the United States is hardly something that people would want to emulate.
Absolutely. And the Pope, I think, did address that in several concrete ways. He talked about, I can't find the exact quotation, but that families that don't make time for family time, or countries, places, people who do not make time for family life, they're kind of doomed. That it's mm-hmm. got to be an essential part of it. And yes, it's true that not everybody has a source of comfort and support in their families. There are a lot of broken families. But then, how do we find ways of bringing family to those people? You know, mm-hmm. is that through church? Is that through personal interaction? There has to be other ways of bringing the bigger idea of family to people mm-hmm. who have broken families.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that that's part of what the Pope's message about the broadening of family is. You know, mm-hmm. just we're born into families. We don't have a choice about that. But for most of us, there are ways we have had to manage defining and finding family outside of that, or to
sure.
augment that. And I think that's terrific. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, one thing I want to mention, and again, I don't have a quotation, but the Pope left us with a thought about it. Most importantly, we have to be about taking care of the little children and the elderly. And that has just really stuck with me, because I resonate with that. I totally agree with that. You know, a culture that doesn't take care of those two populations, there's something just really not going well there.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And for me, the big present that I took away, besides all the rest of this, was the way he kept talking about bridges and encouraging dialogue, in which both parties must be open, not just to listening, but they have to be open to being changed in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just an amazingly open and humble place for a Pope to come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was great. I feel very hopeful for the world after seeing that. I think, you know, there was a lot of talk about the healing he helped with between the United States and Cuba, and you know, you certainly hope some good fruit comes from that.
Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, do you have any closing remarks? We're getting close to our time, I think.
No, I think this is a good place to end up.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you suggested that we talk about this, because I think it's worth talking about, and I suspect it will come up in future shows. Well, you're in charge next week of the topic, my friend. What are you thinking about?
I have no idea.
Of the topic this week?
I have no idea. I'm sure it'll come to me.
Very good. Well, until then, folks, thanks for listening, and if you're looking for God, we'll hope that you just open a book. Have a great week. Bye-bye.